Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the line with us, Al, is the man who knows more about all this stuff than we do and will probably wage a very strong defense of Jim Schwartz. He is one of the top analysts of football. GM, what's the name of it?
GM Shuffle Podcast, writer for The Athletic, and of course the book Gridiron Genius.
I love Mr. Mike Lombardi. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I am great, Angelo. I am doing wonderful. How are you holding up? Everything okay?
I'm doing fine. That was really my first question to you. What has it been like for you the past week or so?
You know, it hasn't for me. I write every day. I watch football every day from my home office. So, you know, and my wife's a really good cook. So it's really hasn't, I hate to say this, I haven't really done too much. I don't usually leave the house very often, so it's kind of a good thing. I got a treadmill so I can work out. So life is pretty much stuck here, and it's okay. A lot of people come in Ocean City, though. I've seen a lot of Pennsylvania plates down here when I walk the dogs.
Which they're being discouraged to do because the medical facilities down there cannot handle it. I'm aware of that. Mike, let me just start with this, all right, because you know Adam Schefter went off the other day about the carnage and that the NFL is terrible in having proceeded with the draft as scheduled. How do you feel about it?
You know, Angelo, I think I was against free agency starting because I thought it was going to be hard to implement, but I think it allowed us to take our focus off of this, and since we were all staying home, we could concentrate on we had some fun listening to what teams were doing and how things were going, and it kind of helped us. And, you know, look, I've been around the NFL for a long time. I was at a part of drafts that went 11 or 12 rounds in one day. This is very doable. To me, this is more doable than anything. And to think that we're going to have enough time to get all these players' physicals and then have a draft, it's just never going to be perfect. And so for me, I think actually it's the best thing we can do. And you know, it'll help us get through a weekend where we'll have some conversations and we'll be able to talk and talk about the teams. I'm not against it. I think the people that are complaining against it, I wrote a column today for The Athletic, for The Athletic, that basically, you know, look, you can cry all you want, but what have you been doing since last May?
Yeah.
Right? What have you been doing since last May? It's your job to get ready for the draft. It's your job to, you know, when I was in New England, we would spend, you know, the month of May, right? We would write over 400 reports on players to get ready for it. And so, you know, before we went for vacation. So to me, there's this notion that, you know, we're not going to have enough time. Medically, I would be concerned about some of the players. And thank God that, you know, Lee Steinberg and his agency already has declared Tui completely healthy. Shocking that they would be able to do that as they are, you know.
Hey, Mike, here's the other thing, though. Can you do a draft? This seems dumb, but it's what they're debating right now. Can a team do a draft without a war room, without having like 10 guys around in a conference room trying to decide what to do?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, we do it all the time. I mean, I think if you look at New England's draft room, there was probably five people in there, six people maybe of us in there. And so there's guys always in other rooms. Most of the coaches are. So, yeah, I mean, the idea you need 50 people in a room, all that means the more people you have in the room, the more leaks you're going to have.
Yeah.
So it's probably better off you have less people.
Yeah, it might work out better. All right, listen, I don't like the way the Eagles are conducting business right now because your buddy, Jim Schwartz. Mike, last week, Howie snapped at me when I suggested that a lot of the things he's done in this offseason have the fingerprints of Jim Schwartz on them. But they do. The players they've gotten, players that used to play for Schwartz, the coaches they name, guys that used to play for Schwartz. Does he have too much power?
Well, I mean, look, I think, that, you know, I don't know about how it works inside, obviously. How did you handle Howie snapping at you? Were you okay? Is that all right?
Well, it's a week later. I'm still whining about it, Mike. I don't think I'm doing that great with it.
Dr. Scanlon, are you okay?
Well, I did talk to Dr. Scanlon, and he said bring it up with you, and hopefully you would help me with it.
Take two.
Look, I mean, you know, like, you'd honestly think that, you know, you don't need to be Sherlock Holmes to put one and one together here. I mean, Slay was drafted by Schwartz, right?
Yep.
The players they're bringing in, I mean, you know, so, look, I think it's a good thing you have a collaborate. I mean, the worst thing you want to do is draft a player that the defensive coaches don't want, or at least the coordinator doesn't want. You've got to have a process, you know. I mean, obviously, Slay was a good player. Slay knows the system. I mean, this is what you're trying to get to. Does he have too much power? You know, I don't know if he comes in there and tells Howie what to do. I doubt that. But, you know, I think that obviously Howie needs him to be able to tell him what direction to go in.
All right, but this is what I'm really curious about, just the basic process of it, Mike. You're the guy that's making a final decision. How much input are you taking and from whom?
Well, you're going to, you know, to me, and I can, this the world that I live in, the best world you live in is you want your coordinators to speak for their side of the football. You want the offense and the defense coordinators to talk. You know, you want the special teams coach. I don't need the running back coach telling me what he thinks he wants, right? There's got to be a rank and file. It is a paramilitary organization. And then you want to collect the data. Now, here's the most important factor. As you're collecting all this data over time, you find out who actually has an eye for talent and who's just really a coach. Because sometimes coaches only see plays. They don't see players. And if a coach can't evaluate talent, you can't really listen to them very much. And there's been a lot of those coaches who have been very good coaches that just can't evaluate talent. They make too many mistakes in the evaluation. You wonder. And I've worked for a few of them, and you just shake your head. And they don't remember how bad they were in personnel because the next year they come back just saying it again. So you've got to be really careful. You've got to evaluate the evaluator along with the coordinator. So to me, it just goes up. And everybody gets a chance to speak, but few get listened to.
All right, but here's where the intrigue creeps in here, Mike, because Schwartz clearly got some people he wanted. The offensive coordinator of the Eagles is the head coach, Doug Peterson. He got Nate Sudfeld. The only guy they signed was Nate. They didn't get him any help. Did they snub him? Is he in agreement with what they're doing? Because he's the head coach, does he have, you know, a different outlook on it? Tell me how you would react if you were Doug Peterson, and they didn't get you anybody.
Well, I mean, see, this whole world, it's a different world than I could ever live in. Because, first of all, the head coach should set what he thinks the team needs are.
Yeah.
And then once you build the team needs, you go from there. And I think that obviously a lot of people in that organization think Nate Sudfeld can be a good player. Maybe Doug thinks the same thing. You know, for me, I said this at the end of the year when you were complaining about the Clowney hit and you doing a Senate subcommittee investigation on that.
Yes.
I was saying, you know, the number one need for the Eagles is a backup quarterback, an experienced backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I did a show this weekend on VSiN, and Phil Simms was all over the idea that they should sign Cam Newton as a backup or sign Mariota. I signed Winston as a backup because his point was the same point I was making, that Wentz does have a durability issue. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, he's not really been that durable. And the most important position on a team that's competing for a Super Bowl is the backup quarterback.
Interesting stuff. When you were in New England, did Belichick get to solicit the opinions of his coaching staff?
You know, the way it works is after the season, everybody would get in a room. Everybody would rate the players. Everybody would rate the players on offense and defense. Then everybody would rate the players as an entire team. Then we would sit in a meeting for 3 weeks and rank every single player, 1 through 70, how many we had. And then he would come up with the team needs. And then the team needs would be, here's what we must have to compete. Here's what we need to compete. Here's what we want to compete, those three categories. And then we start filling it in. And then every time we'd have a practice or an OTA day after a week, we go back over and review our team needs. The team needs are set by what you see as the football team. They're out there, you know, and you're working on it. And just because you sign, say you need a corner and you sign Slay, you need to keep evaluating to make sure Slay's going to solve that need.
Wow. All right, I got, Mike, I need to display your versatility here for a second. There's one more story I got to run by you because It's not in football. It's in basketball. It's the Sixers. Apparently, the New York Knicks have their eye on Sixers GM Elton Brand. Now, we are shocked by that because we don't think he's done anything here of note. How would you handle that if you were running the Sixers? Would you see if you could get something for him? How would you? Because they gave kind of a vote of confidence, but that doesn't mean they're dying to keep him. What would you do with the Elton Brand situation, Mike?
Well, you know, for me, if I was the 76ers president, I would ask Brand, what do you want to do? Do you want to go up there and work for Leon Rose, or do you want to stay here and kind of work for us? I mean, I think that's the number one thing. Obviously, he's got a relationship with Leon Rose, even though Leon didn't represent him. David Falk did, as he was a player.
Right.
So I think that's it. And I think that, you know, ultimately, if I were Elton Brand and I started this vision of the team and I just got this job and I started this vision – you know, the Knicks job, I mean, has anybody paid attention to the Knicks job and who's been there? They've got, like, you know, those saloons back in the old Western, and they had cemeteries behind them. They got a cemetery of former people that work there, whether you can go back, whether it's Scott Grunfeld, Ernie Grunfeld, Larry Brown, Isaiah Thomas. I mean, it isn't exactly been a place where, you know, you got freedom to work. So if I were Elton Brand, I would ask him, is this really what you want to do? Is the appeal of New York City, working in the Garden, that important? Or do you want to finish what you're doing? To me, if there's any hesitation in what he's saying, I would tell him to go.
Could you work for James Dolan? He's the owner.
You know, I've been doing a lot of work on that, Angelo.
Yeah.
Because part of my next book, it talks about this thing called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is how people have these jobs that have incredible power and incredible influence, and yet they don't have the characteristics to handle the job.
Oh.
And Dolan's a candidate for the Dunning-Kruger effect. And I've done a lot of research on him, and it seems to me that his temper, his impatience, even though he spends so much money, he doesn't understand why he's spending money. And he's one of those guys who's lost but always making great time. He starts down the Phil Jackson road, and then he says, oh, this isn't working, let me come back. So he's never really has a plan. He thinks a plan is money. I think any time you have that, you're never going to win.
All right, if you're keeping track at home, the question was, would you work for James Dolan? The answer was no.
There's no doubt.
I'm with you. Mike, that sounds like another great book. Look, when's that one coming out, Mike?
As soon as I can get it written. I got to sell it and write it. I mean, half of Madison Avenue isn't working anymore, so it's hard to sell books right now. Amazon's not even delivering books as much.
All right. Well, Mike, stay at it because we're going to need something great when we get on the other side of this thing. And as always, thank you so much for your input. I really appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks, Angelo. Bye-bye.
Mike Lombardi.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.